Hi, and welcome back to The Vaulting Bard. Today we have a special guest, and this is Angela Mamić, right?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. It's so awesome to have you here. And, well, I heard that you are a Thai boxing woman, so that's your sport.
That's true. That's great.
And how did you start Thai boxing?
Well, it started like that. I tried kickboxing first when I was really, really young. I followed a friend to a training, but I didn't stick with that. Then later, when I moved to Lund to try and find something new to train, I was like, oh, well, Thai boxing is pretty much the same as kickboxing, so why not try it? And then I tried it, and I really liked the way. That way of exercise, the way that it was an individual sport, because I played soccer before, and now I didn't have to adapt myself to teammates. I can just adjust plan around myself. So that's why I started doing it.
So you have been doing some kind of sports your whole life, or?
Yeah, I would say I do something my whole life, because my parents was always like, you have to do something in kind of exercise, but I could pick whatever I wanted, but it was really important for them that I did something just to get away from home, meet friends, and hang out and train at the same time.
And have you been, because I know that you're competing in Thai boxing, have you been competing in other sports as well before?
Well, I haven't competed in that way, because when you played soccer, you have this everywhere kind of games every weekend, like kind of series and such. So I competed in that, but not like an individual sport before. So this is the first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as I understood, you started when you were quite old in terms of not starting like a competition sport as a young child.
Exactly. Because I started to train Thai boxing when I was 21. And when I was about to turn 23, I did my first fight. So it's, like you said, quite late in the terms of sport.
Yeah, and you said that, we've been talking a little bit before, but you said that it's quite common to start late with Thai boxing.
Yes, I would say that in Sweden, it's quite common that you start late. Because before, we don't have it for children practice before, but it has started to come. But when I started, it wasn't that big on child level, so to speak.
Yeah.
It was more for adult people. And I think that had something to do with, like, for example, for boxing was not allowed for a long time in Sweden. So then you couldn't compete in that, and then that got legalized, and then they started with Thai boxing and kickboxing come, but then it was adults who wanted to take part of it, and I think when they lately got children, they wanted their children to take part of it as well, but that takes time to establish. So we have just recently, like maybe this year, started seeing people have started like when they are 14 and win the Swedish championship when they're 18, 19, but it's still not as early as in other sports when people start out with 4 years old or something like that.
How is that in other countries? Because I know that Thai boxing is quite big in Thailand, right?
Yeah. In Thailand, they start like when they are 4 or 5 years old, but then they are maybe finished with their career when they're 25 or something like that. So in it's same, I believe, in Russia, kids starts very early because it's big in Russia. But I think like in the Nordic country, I would say in general, we start late. And I think some European countries, South European countries as well. So I think it differs quite a lot. I think the more east you get from us, the more common it will be that you're younger and start out.
Well, I think that is very interesting, as yeah, some of the listeners know that I started vaulting when I was 24, and it's really uncommon. Also, it's a very, very tough sport because you need to be good at so many things. And also, yeah, you have to do it together with a horse, and you have to have a lot of courage doing a handstand on a cantering horse.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
You're just like, you're stupid.
I'd rather fight than ride a horse. So.
Yeah, well, I think I would not take a fight with somebody. I don't want to have a fist in my face.
Oh, you get used to it, so to say. It sounds really strange to say, but it's a lot of it. Learn to take a hit and not be afraid of it. So it's, well, a part of the routine.
Maybe we have something in common here, because vaulters usually have a lot of blue spots everywhere because they hurt themselves all the time. Mm-hmm. They fall off the horse, or in canter when you're sitting on a girth on the horse.
Yeah,
it's a special girth with special handles. Mm-hmm. And you maybe have when you do partner stunts, which you do too, mm-hmm. and you may be holding somebody in the air. The girth is pushing to your thighs, and you're getting like blue spots everywhere, so you get really used to getting hurt. And also because you have to be very fast, because maybe you just have like this second to do this trick. You don't care about your hurt, because you're just like, oh, I want to do it now, I just have this chance now, I'm gonna do it. And then you forget about the pain, and you go home, it's like, why am I blue everywhere?
It's the same if you like compare it to Thai boxing. When you train in the beginning, you hold these kind of pads where people kick and hit. And if you don't hold them correctly, for example, they hit your body, like you jump towards your body if you don't hold it close enough. And then you get bruises of that. And then you start doing sparring session. Then you get bruises because you don't hold the guard enough. Then you manage to kick yourself on the other person's elbow. And then it hurts like hell, but you keep doing it. And it's quite interesting when you do it in a training session, it hurts a lot. You're like, yeah, just give me 2 seconds. I just need to catch my breath. But in a fight, you just completely ignore it. And more afterwards, when the adrenaline is fading away, it's like, yeah, now my shins hurt.
Yeah.
But not during the fight, but afterwards. Like, yeah, I'm hurt.
Well, I can imagine. I know it's and but how is it then you've been doing football? And I mean, it's common to say that football players are like really sensitive when it comes to pain, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was the goalkeeper, so I wasn't like and I think like when you're playing in the lower division, it's like it's more brutal than in the higher division.
Oh, because, really?
Yeah, because then you just like, fuck it, I want to win. So then just go for it.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I think that I think probably, have you been doing like a separate women's and men when you were playing football?
Yeah, yes. And I think that's another thing as well, because I think in football, when I was doing it like 15 years ago, I'm 31 now, it was more like, there weren't so many teams for women, and then you have to, if you wanted it, you have to prove yourself, I'm good enough for this. So then you got another drive, another way of compete against other people.
I think that women football is, or soccer, if we now say this, realized we have some American listeners too. And soccer, my American friends, not American football. But with soccer, that women's soccer, I think women are like more tough than men when it comes even in the higher divisions. When you see them, they're just like looking, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
And the men,
if I'm going down, you're going to go down with me. Way of thinking.
Yeah, they really look tough. And their boys look so sensitive sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's how it is, at least in soccer.
And you told me in a message before that you went to the Swedish championships last weekend, right?
Yeah, if that's correct.
Tell me how it went.
I won gold, so I'm really happy. it was for the fourth year in a row. So so that's a pat on my back, so to say. And I think I did my best Swedish championship so far, if I compare it to the other three before. And it's really, I would say, fun to take part in, but it's also kind of exciting because you have a lot of expectation that, oh, I won the previous year, I have to win now, and so on. And so it's important, I think, to learn to keep the nerve under control. And I can imagine that as well in your sport, that if it's so intense that you have to, if I have to stay calm, I cannot be high in this, not this day, but high in spirit, because you have to stay calm, so the horse is calm and
yes.
so on. Yeah. You
yes.
cannot let the horse know that you are nervous, because then it would get nervous.
Yeah, it of course depends on which horse you have, but yeah. And that is one of the things I work with a lot to channel my energy, because I'm very high pitched in energy. So the current horse I have for competition, he is very sensitive to my energies. So when I'm running towards him, because we do jump on the horse, a certain
yes.
jump. When I just run to him, he can already feel my energy. So when I am nervous, he starts running faster. So you really have to be aware of your own feelings. But how do you work with your energy when you're going to competitions or in training?
Yeah, I have learned that it's really important. It's fine to acknowledge, oh, I am nervous. That's fine. So you don't try to keep push it away. So at first I learned to acknowledge that I'm nervous and maybe have anxiety about it. And then I learn how to like breathe through it. Like if I'm starting to feel the in my stomach, like the butterflies, I can feel it. I start to breathe really deep, so like 10 deep breaths and so on. And I really did focus on that during this championship last weekend. And I would say that it helped a lot. Otherwise, first time I feel like I really got it, because otherwise I'd be like, well, it's just breathing. But now I said, no, I'm going to try to really just breathe. And I always said that helped. But as I said, I think it's really important to acknowledge that it's fine to be nervous and just think like, oh, it's not only me that nervous and have anxiety. Everyone is so happy about being here. No, it's not. Everyone is feeling the same way. And that can be hard to accept.
So it sounds a little bit like you're working with mindfulness, right?
Yeah, we're working a bit with mindfulness, and just to try to, like, pictures, like, whatever makes you feel calm, and, like, try to make your feelings solid, so to speak, so feel like you can touch them. Yes, I don't want this kind of emotion. I move it away from my body, out of me, so you can, yeah. But different kind of mindfulness exercises, and I tried some of it. It's difficult to find which one is most suitable for me in which situations. Like it's one for during training, and it's another one during competition, because it's different kinds of elements you are in.
How does competition differ from training for you in your sport?
Like I would say, in training, it's more like, it's a lot of grinding. I mean, and you compete, maybe there it's more like you put pressure on yourself that I want to be able to have a good training and I want to feel strong and so on. And here in competition, it feels like then you have someone that tries to destroy. You're trying to do your best and you have an opponent that's trying to keep you from doing your best. And that's really, I don't like it. I mean, I want to be perform my best and not have them destroy my flow. And that could be a lot, because depending on which one you fight, they have different impacts on you. Like, for example, have I met this person before? Is it the first time? Have I won against this person? Have I lost against this person? So it's a lot of depending, different situations that affect me differently. And also, only a competition, like you do one fight one weekend, or is it a tournament, like it is like during the Swedish Championship? But because when you won one fight during the Swedish Championship, if you don't win it, you're out. So it's all or nothing. So it's different kind of pressure. It's the same during the World Championship and European Championship. Like if you lose, you're out of the tournament, you get no second chances.
Yeah.
So there are also a lot of pressure in a different way.
How do you work with that? So don't like, I mean, get really, is it still the breathing you're working with and your mindfulness?
And I have also noticed that I don't want to be stuck in my hotel room for all the time. I try to hang out with other people from my gym, from the other people from the national team. Just so I'm not alone with my thoughts 24/7, just so I can keep my mind a bit occupied and maybe do some talking with my trainer and so on. Like, this feels so bad. We do some light training before the fight just to feel like, oh, the techniques are there. You don't have to worry. So
I guess that differs a little bit from vaulting, because vaulting is a sport that is non-profit. You don't earn anything from any competition. It's so rare that you win any prize money at all. Mm. And that makes us be like a big family. So vaulters around the world are like friends with each other, even if they are opponents. And if they are at the same competition, they could still hang out and have a nice time. But then when they're in the ring or in the riding arena, then they're opponents in the competition. But we're all friends together because the sport is so small. And
I would say, like, during a competition, I don't usually hang out with my opponents.
Yeah.
But after the fight, so to say, then we can be like talking, be like friends, like talk on Instagram and so on. But before the competition and during competition, you may say hi or something like that, but you don't do like that type of small talk regularly.
Well, probably it's like the same in vaulting, but when it's like a 3-day competition or something, maybe you hang out in the evenings or something. It's more like that. Yeah. But of course, when you're in your focus for your competition, then you're on your own or with your team. So well, I'm also curious, how does it feel with a body that is not as like a teenager or a kid anymore to start with a tough sport like this? Have you felt that it could be hard sometimes or in any way? How does it feel?
I have noticed that, like, for example, the older I get, so to say, I have to do more stretching and more warm-up and such before I start doing the regular training, because otherwise it puts a lot of stress on the muscles or so not, and it increases the risk of hurting myself, like pulling on it. So I would say, like, you get more and more sensitive, or you get a higher risk to hurt yourself because it's quite explosive, so it's easy for a muscle or something like that. And unfortunately, I haven't done that so far, because I think it's important, like, you cannot lack off with strength training and stretching and so on. It's more important to keep that, doing that, the older you get. So I would say, like, if you're younger, you can be a bit so-and-so about it, but the older you get, the more important you get to do that part as well.
Yeah. And have you had any injuries when you were younger, any sports injuries?
Not like that. I had like something like my knee, like when I played football, when I grew, it could become like, I'd say, quite loose, the kneecaps. So I twisted it a bit, but not permanent damage, so to say. But it's more like growings. When you grow, all of it doesn't keep up. It's more like that.
It's quite interesting. I've just compared myself to that. I did not have any injuries, like sports injuries, as a younger child, and I have not been working out very much when I were younger. Just like, 1 year I did dancing, and then I did cheerleading, and I did like different stuff, but I never hurt myself, but because I never pushed my body as I do today. But I still don't have had any big injuries. I mean, I sprained foot as most.
Yeah.
But I'm like thinking that if you could take care of your body quite good as a younger child, then the grown-up body will hold together better.
I think that's a good point, because if you train more like when you're a kid and so, your body, like you said, have a better stability to train harder when you get older. I strongly believe that. Another difference I would say, being now and like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you need the recovery period of training gets longer and longer. So it gets more important, like, to plan when do I rest, when do I train, when do I eat, because if you skip out on that part, you get out less from the training.
Yeah.
And I think when you're younger, it's not that important if you slept well enough or nothing like that. You're like, well, I'm 18, I'm fine anyway. But when you're like 30, it's like, oh, I slept bad, Oh, my entire body hurts now. So it's a big difference, I would say.
A lot of times I don't feel like a lot of muscle ache. I mean, of course, when I do new exercises, I do, but mainly I feel just stiff.
Yeah,
Like
it's
when I.
most exactly. The stiffness comes to get you. It's like, well, I haven't stretched for 3 days. Yes, now my body is in pieces. It will never move again.
Yeah, for me it's like I've been able to do a workout and then I sit down in the chair and then I'm like cooling off a little bit and then I'm getting up to like the toilet or anything. It's like, oh my God, I feel so stiff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's something like that when it's like when you're so tired, you get home, lay yourself on the floor, and they're like, well, no, I'm never going to be able to get up from here. I live here now.
Yeah. And sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you're gonna get up out of the bed, it's like, I'm not going to the gym today. Totally forget that. And then when you like get your day started, it's like, well, I feel like yesterday I feel good.
I was probably just a little weak tomorrow this morning. I'm strong now. Let's go.
I've actually started to do some yoga in the mornings, depending on how much time I have, but usually at least 5 minutes and sometimes 20. And I feel that the day is so much better when I do it because, yeah, less stiff and less pain and,
And I
yeah.
think it's good to do like stretching when you are, so to speak, have cold muscles, like when you haven't done a warm up, because that's when you're most stiff in your
Yeah.
muscles, and that's when you need train the stretching the most. Because if you're warm and have like do a warm up, then your body has, yeah, you can move a muscle, it's fine, but you don't push them, so to speak, when you do it cold.
Well, I guess it's probably also depending on what your goal is, because in vaulting, obviously it's gymnastic, you want to increase our range of motion. You maybe are not interested that much in increasing your motion. You don't maybe want to do a bridge and box somebody in the back or in a split. But I think stretching in cold, yeah, would absolutely be good too. I think it just depends on what your goal is with it, because I really dig when I'm like a sauna warm. The whole body is so warm, it's like butter, because then you can increase that range of motion. But obviously, of course, not only passive stretching. I mean, active stretching is part of our routine or my routine a lot of times too, because you need the strength to pull. In our world, it's called a needle. It's a standing split on the horse. And then you have to pull up your leg like 360 or not 180 degrees. And that means that you have to have power, you have to have strength. And you can't have that when you're only passive stretching. So, but how important is flexibility in Thai boxing?
I would say like it's not on the same level like you guys
No,
needs to
of
have.
course.
And because for example, I cannot do a split, but I think it's good to have some agility because you're not too stiff. Because if you're too stiff, your muscles get really tense, and that drains a lot of energy. For example, if you're supposed to have your guard up high, and if you're really stiff or your muscles are sore, it drains faster, then you cannot keep your guard up and your hands drop, for example. And then you get vulnerable to that. Same if you want to do a high kick, like kick someone in that person's head. It also you have to have some sort of agility to be able to, how to say, turn your hip in the kick moment, so be able to turn it real explosive. So I would say that some agility is needed, but we get, obviously everyone gets quite stiff, especially around the hips due to the kicks and between the shoulders due to holding the guard up, so to say, and do the lot of boxing. So we said that's in general, if you I generalize, is the most common when you get stiff in Thai boxing. And of course, you can also get in the arms and so whatnot, but I would say in general that's the areas.
It's quite interesting that you are saying that being stuck in like a certain position makes you more weak than being like more loose and still like not relaxed, having some tension but still loose. Because we have some exercises. One is called scissors or only swing. It depends on how advanced it is. But you're sitting on the horse holding the handles and then you are swinging to a handstand. And scissors would be when you also turn your hips and then sit down backwards. But to be able to swing into that handstand, you are lifting up your legs. And when you do that, you can't like have floppy. Too much tension. But they have to be like loose, just in that way that you are describing with like holding your arms. I really believe that is just the same feeling, because it's like a pendulum. You take up your legs and then get back, and you, because then you use the force of the motion. But it's really interesting, because if you're like stiff in your legs, you really tension, then it will just be like very stiff motion. That's really interesting in different position and meanings.
And it's the same here. You cannot be like too stiff as well, like too loose as well, because if you get hit, then you go like fly a lot backwards and it doesn't look good. So you have to have the perfect kind of in between, stiff so you can take a punch, but not too stiff to drain too much energy. So like you said, it's a balance of where to put it.
I see a parallel here as well when it comes to falling, because when we a lot of times you have the risk of falling off a horse, and for that you have to find a certain falling technique, and something I work with is not to fall like a leaf, because when you're like if you don't have any tension, you will hurt yourself because you will fall like a sack of potato.
Yeah.
But you need to be able to roll off with your back, but also not be too tense, because then you will hurt yourself because you will fall very hard like a stiff thing. So it's also just that perfect balance, and it's very interesting. Do you fall any time in your sport?
Yeah, it can occur. For example, you are allowed to catch someone's leg when they kick, and then you can do a sweep. So for example, if you caught my leg, you can do a sweep on my landing leg, so, and then I fall. You're not allowed to hit me when I fall, but if you fall too hard, you get the air sucked out of you, so to say, when you hit the ground, and it drains a lot of energy.
Yeah, and it will be hard for you to breathe. Yeah,
and you don't want to, then you fall, but not catch yourself with the arm, so to say, because then you can hurt yourself. And I would say it's quite common that beginners feel like, yeah, I want to do a sweep because it looks cool. Then you do it, and then the person who falls are not used to being swept. And then they like hurt the arm because it catch themselves, like it comes under the body or something like that. So,
well, do you train how you fall?
We don't train how we fall. More like to try to be as stable as not to fall. But I think since we have quite a good body control, it comes a little bit by itself. Like we can control our arms and try to keep the arms close to the body, not to catch yourself with that and so on. So it's more like that.
It's very interesting, because I have found that in the riding world, a lot of people they think about falling that is like, that is something that should not occur. Yeah, but it will happen eventually, so you have to be prepared. Yeah. And vaulters are, in my eyes and a lot of other people's, like the most well-trained riders, but we're not riders, we call ourselves vaulters, but we're still in the riding world with horses. And we have a lot of body control, we have a lot of core, and I think that is something that helps you by falling, as you say. I for myself have not trained so much falling, some yes, and I take a lot of the sport parkour with it, because you learn how to roll off when you jump down something, but it's, I have not trained so much falling technique, and still I manage to get good falls. I usually do a roll. I just, when I fall back, I do a roll instantly, because I have it in my brain to do it. But also my core stability, as you say, just helps me. And I think that is so awesome how something can help you. It's like, I don't know how they call it, if it's some kinetics or something, that when you have one ability that can go over to the next.
Yes.
And you can use different abilities in different settings.
Like for example, in voltige you have a score of 20, but if you start doing gymnastics, you don't start from zero, you start at a level of 10, so to say. So you have something with you in different sports.
Yes.
And that's really, like you said, I think it's quite amazing how the body still can, I don't know this by heart, but I know well enough to adapt to it.
And that is just why I wanted to do the part with you, because I knew that there are some, there would be some kind of things that we could have in common, but it's, yeah, of course, especially because you are not a kid anymore, and I would like to support more about vaulting for grown-ups too, because I'm one, and because I think a lot of adults don't are allowed to have that much space in sports. It's always about kids, and of course it's very important to have kids in sports and getting them started, but I also believe that we should have an open community for everybody regardless of age and background. Do what you want to do, do it on the level you want to do. Don't force yourself to go to competitions or not. I mean, that, like, everybody can choose how they want to do it.
And I think it's really important to emphasize it's never too late, because you can always try out a sport even though we're like older or something like that. It doesn't like, oh well, I didn't start when I was 10, it's too late now. Well, you can still do a sport and enjoy it, and you may even be able to compete in if you want to. Like, start doing it for fun and see what happens, I would say.
I love your saying that, because I always say that to you, you're never too old. And I have seen just recently a German woman, she was 50 plus, and she went to a vaulting competition in Kanter, and she did it good. I mean, her technique was maybe from the 90s, because she probably started vaulting in the 90s, but still she did it good. And I was so happy to see that, because she did what she loved. She did what she wanted to do. Well, tell me about, have you seen people who are older than you doing Thai boxing?
Yes, I saw, like, for example, he turned 40 that year and won the Swedish championship. So, wow. I mean, he won over the a lot younger people. Like, he was twice the age of some people. So I would say it's quite, and I also see it a lot in boxing. Like, they are over 40s, older ones that compete. So I would say it's still common in Thai boxing and boxing and kickboxing that you are, could be older and still be great, because like they are more than 40 years old and still win belts and championship and titles. So that's a big proof that you don't have to be 20 to win.
What does motivate you?
I want to be the one that, of course, I want to win, of course, because I'm a competitive person, but I also want to be the one that sets the bar. Like, I want to be the one to raise the bar. I want to see if the other people, oh, you are here, but I'm even higher, and this is the level you have to reach to beat me. And I want to keep raising it when they get closer. So, like, be the one that you don't want to face in a competition, because, oh no, it's her, she's the highest. Like being annoying to people. So if I'm going to put it blunt.
Oh, that's so cool. Also, it's very interesting to talk to people who are quite competitive, because I'm not so much. I'm competitive against myself. This is it's the only thing, the only person I want to beat is myself. I want to be better than yesterday. And that comes a lot from that I'm not like a winner's person. You know, when you're playing like board games, I'm the one who, like, I didn't win. I don't care. It's just a game. Because I mean, other people aren't that way at all. But when it comes to competitions, I can't compare myself to the ones I compete against, because they have been doing vaulting for so much many more years than I have. So it would be so unfair for me to compare myself.
But I think that's really sound, like, and a healthy way of thinking, because if you start comparing yourself with other people, it takes away the fun, because sometimes you put the goals that aren't realistic, because I did that a lot. I once had two higher goals, and a lot of them were for myself. I should be this so good during this training, and the next one should be this good, and they weren't realistic, and that took away a lot of fun. Then I start to like, okay, how should I start to think instead to get the fun back in Thai boxing? So I changed my way of thinking. If I hadn't done that, I don't think I would stay in Thai boxing and compete as long as I have, because it took away the funds, like I said.
Also, you're doing Thai boxing, could you say, as your, even if you're an elite sports person, would you say that it is a hobby because you have a job?
I would say, like, it's more than a hobby. I identify myself like an elite athlete because I do it for fun, of course, but I also put a lot more time that it turns not always to be fun, so to say. I do the boring part as well just because I want to compete.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. Yes. Money-wise.
Money-wise, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, money-wise, I get nothing. Yeah. So in that terms, it's a hobby because I cannot live on it. Mm. I still work a full-time job and train on my free time. So I know that people in other countries can live off it, in Thailand, of course, and a lot of Russia, Belarus, and different countries, because the states or the give them like a salary or something like that. They have a different type of system there. But yeah. I would say it's not many people, that maybe a couple in Sweden, that can live off it. But then they get like salary from the gym, because the gym have so many members that it's enough to pay them some sort of salary.
Okay, yeah.
But you don't earn enough by fighting, like you said. It's no, even though I won the like European Championship, I got nothing. So it's still, even though you win gold, it doesn't give you anything.
Yeah. Well, then our sports are quite similar with that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I spend 5 to 6 days a week training as well. So even if I'm not the level of an elite sports person, that is how I train.
Yeah.
And I do stuff that I don't think is so fun too.
Exactly. So I would say you're an elite athlete as well.
Oh, thank you. That is a compliment for me.
And I would say it's the same, like if you look to sponsors, like you don't get money. Maybe you get some equipment and maybe some like food or protein bars and that kind of things, but you don't get money to live off.
Yes.
So it's not like you said, some people, just get some sponsors. Yeah, well, it doesn't really help.
Yeah. No, it's not easy to get around if you want to do what you love.
No, it's a hard work and determination that's necessary.
Do you have a family?
Yeah, I have a husband, so he keeps up with a lot of things when I'm tired and on my diet before my competitions and so on. But we are quite different. He doesn't He doesn't train as I do.
Yeah.
Maybe go for a walk and something like that, but he doesn't. Not completely different.
So you're the high pitched person, and he is the grounded. The calm one.
I would say he's definitely the calm one. Hands down.
Yeah, that's probably with my relationship too. He's the calm one. He's not about competitions at all.
Yeah. It's like if you play like board games, he's the one that say like, I play it for fun. I was like, yes, for fun and for winning.
Yeah, it's so funny. We have you probably have heard the name of it, but Malin Bajard, a Swedish rider, jumping rider.
Yes.
Very, just for the listeners, very well-known Swedish rider who is sponsored by H&M. And she said during COVID, and now we don't have any competitions, and I'm such a competing person. So my children and I, we are playing tennis, and it's about life and death. The whole family is about winning board
it's
games.
It's a blood feud.
Yes. And I'm the total opposite. So it's so fun because I have a friend. She and her boyfriend, usually when we play a board game, it's about life and death. They are so mean against each other. It's like, I don't understand it, because for me it's like, okay, and tomorrow I've forgotten about that board game. It was fun, but I didn't win. It's all right. Even when they play Mario Kart.
It destroys families, Mario Kart.
I for myself, it's like, okay, I'm always freaking losing against my boyfriend, like just second or third or fourth or something, and I was like, oh man, no, I lost again. Well, okay, it's fine. I'm still having a lovely life.
I'm fine if I lose the first one, maybe the second one, but if I doesn't stop winning something, I don't have to win every game, but some games, then I get more and more. More quiet, and yes, it's fun. Now we play so I can win.
Now it's for real.
Yeah, exactly. No one focused.
You have been telling me about Thai boxing in different countries. Have you been traveling something in Thai boxing somewhere else?
I was in Thailand once, like just for 3 weeks, just to try it out, to try and then I will stay there. But I haven't traveled around that much, not abroad. But I usually travel to Stockholm because there's a gym there that I have some friends and I really like their way of training.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good to like train with other people because you get a different input from your training and yeah. from their trainers as well. So I would really recommend it to try different. I don't know if it is in Voltige, but maybe you get those yeah. trainers see different things that you should improve or something like that.
Yeah, I have a lot of different vaulting friends around the world, and Instagram and social media is a really great input nowadays, and mm-hmm. certainly because of COVID they have been more, the sport has become more open,
mm-hmm.
So we have more people with internet training, Zoom yeah. trainings and stuff, and also lectures about different techniques in the sports. So that's really nice. But yeah, I have vaulting friends in Denmark and in Austria and in Germany and now in America too. So
that's great.
yes, it is, because we do things differently. And I'm always so amazed when I have been training with my friend in Austria or in Denmark, and we mm-hmm. have exchange with each other, even that we are totally different levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice that it doesn't have to be like, okay, well, I'm training in a higher league than you. No, it's not about that. It's very flat, and we can help mm-hmm. each other, because sometimes somebody has something that you don't have. Yeah, I have vaulting friends everywhere in Sweden too, so
yeah. Yeah,
of course. Well, and how was your trip in Thailand with Thai boxing? I mean, if it's where Thai boxing is from, right?
Exactly, hence the name. But I would say it's a bit different way of training in Thailand and training in Sweden. And I think, like, because in Thailand it's still traditions and more focus on that, like more old school Thai boxing. Where in maybe Sweden and here in Europe, it has adapted more, maybe they focus more on the boxing parts of Thai boxing, because in Thailand, they must mostly do kicks and knees, for example, and elbows. But here we have a different kind of culture. It's like people have done boxing before, then they have become more common to do that in Thai boxing as well. You get the same points of a kick, like, and a hit with boxing. In Thailand, you don't get that. So it's a quite, and I think it's due to traditions. Like, they don't change in Thailand because they are so rooted. But here it's more like, oh, it comes from 20, 30 years ago and still growing and adapting.
Right.
It's quite interesting to see. And when you're away on different championships, you can see that different countries have different kind of styles. Like, some people maybe have more kickboxing, because kickboxing were maybe the most common there, so they're a bit more jumpy. And some people have more boxing and move different with the guard. And some people have been in Thailand a lot, with kicks a lot and do more knees. So it's really, you can really distinguish between other people's country and so on.
Yeah, you can see by the style where they're from.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there are some local traditions of others, like someone done judo and so on. They may be a bit more flexible and so on. So it's quite interesting and fun to watch how people take something that is only 8 techniques, so to say, but still adapt them so much to their own kind.
Yeah.
And I would also say that's a lot, like we talked earlier, depending on your body. Some is tall and slender, some is a bit shorter. And I am always the shortest one in my weight category. And that's also an adjustment that I have to work around and so on. So it's the same we talk about when you adjust to your age and what can you perform. It's the same, like, you have to adapt what you are capable of, what your body can handle and what your body is great at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think that's universal for a lot of sports, or should be. Sometimes it's forgotten, but you have to work with what you have.
Yeah.
I recently read about quite interesting thing for me about handstands. A handstand is a very important exercise for vaulting, and a lot of people don't know that. But those who know, they know, and they train a lot of handstand because it's so universal for vaulting, for the compulsory exercise. We have some compulsory exercise. Mm-hmm. And with a handstand, I was reading that it differs for men and women, or at least when you do like the exercise planche, which mm-hmm. is like, yeah, vertical with your body,
yeah,
because a woman has more butt and also maybe breast, and that makes a total difference to the man. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's easy to forget that not only age and size, but also gender is makes our possibilities to do a sport different.
And I think that's really important to keep in mind, because then you can adjust to what's, like I said earlier, most suitable for you, and that enables you to grow more and perform better because it's adapted to you. So you don't try to fit in a form, because everyone is doing like that. Yes, but because everyone is doing it doesn't mean it's the best for you. I think that's important to mind.
I think that is something that would differ between the general sports person and more the elite sports person. Yeah. I think that is where we can change the road or decide which side you want to go.
Yeah, I will agree to that, because if you're doing it just to have fun, say it's not that important to analyze the training exercise in that kind of way. But if you want to compete, it's a, for example, like us, then it's made become more important. So, like, for example, score better points at your in voltage and so on.
Yeah.
Because pick the ones that you are the best at for your type of body and so on.
Yeah, and also the horse.
Yeah, and the horse, of course.
No, you didn't know that, but it is quite interesting. I was just talking with my trainer about that today, because I went to a workout with my trainer before we met. Video chat, by the way, because she doesn't live here. She lives in Lund.
Yeah.
Well, they don't grow on trees, vaulting trainers, so you have to take imagine. What you find, or at least if you want to have a good one. And yeah, we were talking about just about with the horse, because you have to adapt about your exercises, what works with a horse. So it's, yeah, in our sports, it's also about another being, a horse, mm-hmm. and also a lunger, of course, because different lungers lunge differently and have different mm-hmm. kind of knowledge. But yeah, the horse's ability is also very important. Some horses are more stable because they have mm-hmm. know more where to put their legs, and other horses are more unstable, and then you can't do all of the things. You have to be more centered. You can't do like a lot of things to the side. And some horses maybe have some issues, don't want to have some bad experience from some exercises, or not full in training yet. So yeah, it differs. So we have the two parts. We have the human and the horse, and we have to make it together. It's a good thing. Well, I have a question for you. What do you dream of?
Well, my goal, what I dream of, is to win the world championship, because I placed second 4 times. So I think that's a big goal for me. And I would really like to win the Swedish championship, world championship, and European championship during the same year.
Oh my God, you're a perfectionist.
take a triple. But I would say the one closest to my heart is, like I said, the world championship, because it's been close. Sometimes it was because the opponent were better. Sometimes because I haven't had the judges on my side, like you have to have just marginal. Sometimes because it's not a point system. It's like more like they decide which one is the stronger fighter. So it's more like mm-hmm. it's difficult to understand. It's not like in kickboxing when they count points, like one hit, two hits, three hits. It's more like, oh no, before the duel, I think fighter A was better than fighter B. Then the fight A have the upper hand, and then they do evaluation who had the upper hand the most during the entire round, and then they give the death round to that fighter. So it's not that clear. So it's what different judges think it's more important. Like we talked earlier about Yeah, but some people doesn't think boxing is scored them all that much, and the kicks are better, and yeah, so that affects as well. So you have to have all the odds in your favor too.
So that means we have even something more common with vaulting, actually, even if I'm not about to search for it, because I think it's just fun to talk to you and to talk about passion.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing would be that it is a sport where you are about to score and to get points from a judge, which means that it is not about, like football, the ball is in or it is not.
It's very clear.
It's like
a goal, it's not the goal.
Yes, it's like more like gymnastics, like a score sport. And I had no idea about it. I was thinking, okay, just hit the opponent when he's on the floor, he's dead. Yeah. You're just like, I would love to be it that easy.
I wish.
Well, tell me then, because then that makes a lot of different questions opening. Do you ever feel pressure that you're not would get the right points, that a judge would not see you, or that you are not holding the hand right this time? And
I can sometimes the most common for me is I question myself, like, oh, I didn't do enough in this round, for example. I should have be able to hit more, like, dude, I can feel that pressure. So, like, if I don't do more, the judges won't see that I am the better fighter. So I would say it's, for me, more like that.
Okay, yeah. Well, still, it's about judging. It's not about only about getting first into goal or getting the ball into the
exactly
goal.
Yeah, sometimes, because if it's a lot of fights during a day, you know that the judges will be tired to watch that many fights, and then they can, like, not doze off, so to say, but, you know, lose focus because it's a really long day. And then, you know, like, sometimes you can be, I hope to see what, when I'm at my best and not, like, spacing out at just that moment.
Yeah.
So that can cross your mind.
Are you ever afraid of getting hurt seriously?
No, I would say I'm not, because I trust my level of skill. Of course, everything can happen, but I'm not worried about it, because I know that I have trained and read before the fights when I enter the ring.
Do you sometimes have to, like, take a deep breath and think, like, okay, now I have to go for it, I just have to give it all?
Yes, because sometimes it can be a really close fight, and then you know that you have to collect yourself and pull yourself together to perform even more. Because when we fight, we do it, and then we have this rest between each round for 1 minute, and that's the time when you have to pull yourself together to be able to perform in the next round. And there's also when the coaches you, like, you can say, like, really, breathe now for 10 seconds, then you breathe. Okay, now I give you the instruction, because if you give them immediately, you're too in the fight, even though the resting period has started.
Do you ever feel in a fight, when you're in a fight, that the time gets slower or stops?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. It's sometimes you're like, it feels like this round I'm going to quit. I'm so tired. I was like, then it came, oh, it's 1 minute left. 1 minute? I'm tired now. So yes, that's quite common to feel that.
Oh, man. Now, I was thinking about with, like, taking a deep breath, I found myself that in the beginning, and I think sometimes still when I do a shoulder stand on the horse, that I have to, like, take it just one, it has to be quite fast, so I don't have 10 seconds, but it's like I take one breath and it's like going diving and down. Because it's like, okay, I think it is, I'm a little bit afraid, but I just have to do it now, and then I do it.
Think about it. Just take a breath, and do it.
And the funny thing is, I know a lot of people who think that my sport or what I do is really, really, they would never feel comfortable enough to do that. And and then they think that I'm not afraid of anything, but I do have my boundaries. And I was thinking just about that shoulder stand last year on one of the first competitions I started doing. And it was really like, okay, do it. Yeah. But I push myself. I just say, now you do it. Now you have the chance, otherwise it's gone.
You have to do it now? or the window of opportunity is wasted.
Yes, so
just
yes.
Just take a deep breath and do it.
Yeah. It's a tough sport. Your sport, my sport. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say yours as well.
Yeah. Well, in different different ways.
Yes.
Surely, but also a lot of common. What I was thinking about. Yeah. What is the best after a good fight?
I would say because you're really high on endorphins, because you have pushed your body so far. So the amount of happiness after win, it's a most amazing feeling. It's like you're flying on the clouds. I mean,
yeah.
And that feeling can stuck for some days afterwards because you're still so high on life. And I think it's like kind of like a drug sometimes because like before fights, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I pushing myself so far? And then the other fight, I would do it again right now. So I would say like the body puts a trick on you there.
It's funny, I'm thinking about two things. The one was last year I went to a competition with a different horse that was much more stable than my usual horse. And after that competition, I was in Denmark and not in Sweden, so I did not know anybody. So it was such a nice feeling, and I was so high afterwards. It's so indescribable, but you're just pure happiness.
Yeah, it's people, like you said, oh, how does it feel? Like, it's such an unique feeling, like, you cannot put words on it. It's, I think it's... Yeah, it's an amazing feeling, yeah.
It's probably because you have been fighting so hard for such a long time to get to that point that everything is just falling off your shoulders.
Yeah, I think all the stress and you getting relaxed, because you can finally relax, like you said, after weeks and months of hard training, and at the same time, you're really happy, so you take in the happiness quite easy because...
The other thing I was thinking about, I did an obstacle course run 2 years ago, and it was so tough. And I said to my partner several times when we were running it, because I hate running, and it was a lot of running, not only obstacles, it was really a lot of running. And I said to him like 100 times, why am I doing this? I'm stopping doing this. I'm not going to go to goal. I'm not going to do this. And then afterwards, when we were done, I was so, so tired. And yeah, I can shift feelings very fast. And I was like, okay, well, we're going to do it again.
When should you do this next time? I'm free next weekend. And it's like, okay.
It's like you forget everything. And it's, yeah. Well, do you have some fun memories from your sport?
Well, I have a lot. But one of the things where we were in Turkey on a tournament, and we do a weighting each time we have a fight during a tournament, so we can weigh in several times. And sometimes we do like not drink that much during the evening before, because you want to make sure that you made the weight. And then, like you said, oh, the weighting is canceled due to that the fight took so long, so it wouldn't be fair to the one who fought late to do a weighing early. So me and my friend were so happy, so we'd run to the balls and buy for the Colosseum just to celebrate. It's those kinds of tiny memories that they really realize they treasure a lot.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's amazing feeling to win and feel the national anthem and so on, and that's priceless. But the small piece of happiness along the way is just as important. And I'm trying to keep them my thought, being better at it, actually. Because it's easy just thinking, fight, 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 I want to win. But then you forgot those moments on the way.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because, and that is why I don't talk with you so much about wins and medals, because I think that they are important and they have their place, but they are giving so... It gets so much more space to talk about it, and then we forget to talk about those small things. For me, it can be just like, okay, today I did my first handstand in the handles on the horse or on the handles, and this is a moment I have been working for several years. And for me, that is much bigger than the bow, a bow on the competition. You know, we have bows.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't have any here, but I have some downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I think, as you say, those small moments, they can be so wonderful to remember or give you just a smile, as you say, like a fun experience, a Coca-Cola Zero. Okay, nothing to somebody but for me it was giant today.
Exactly. It was the most amazing feeling, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, but at that moment it was amazing.
Well, how do you structure a week? I mean, of course, we have different times during the year and stuff, but
Yeah.
like, how do you train a week?
It depends a lot if you have a couple of months ahead of competition and whatnot, because the closer you get to the competition, we do less and less heavy strength training. Because if we do heavy strength training, our muscles get really heavy, so to speak, and we need to be explosive. So we adjust that part. But I would say, like, I spend 12 to 15 hours training, and most of it is after work hours and during weekend, not so much before my work day, because that just then I don't have to go up as early, and I have more time doing I can sleep better and get that recovery that I talked about.
Yeah.
But I would say that I do like maybe four Thai session each week, like, and each Thai session is 2 hours each.
Yeah.
It's at least 8 hours of the time, and then I do like strength training and running as well, to up to 4 hours, and maybe we do a fifth session of Thai when it's close to competition. And yeah,
But you mean by 4 hours, you mean 4 hours in total for a week, not like for one session?
exactly, not for one session, and it can be different. Sometimes we do shorter intense runs, and sometimes we do intervals, sometimes we run 10 kilometers. It depends a bit on where it is, comparing on the week. Like, for example, if it is the day before Thai boxing, we do maybe a long run. If the day after, maybe we do high intense training more at the end of the week, and when we're tired, and it won't affect the Thai boxing training.
So you train like 7 days a week?
I always have at least one day off, because I think
Yeah.
it's really important that they have one day off.
Good.
When it's not like competition, maybe 2 days off. So it depends a bit. It's not always in a row, but at least one day. And I think it's really important, so you don't like, I can do something. Well, if you want to do something, you can stretch, but it's really important to rest as well. And I
Yes.
think a lot of people forget about that think, oh, but I want to become the best, so I train every day. Yes, but that just destroys your body.
Also, what I have found lately is that when I don't take those days off, because I feel like 1 week I'm feeling very energized, that it will haunt you later, and then
Yes.
maybe you don't feel for doing anything for a week or 3 days or something. So, but when you take your rest every week, you can have more, yeah, like your,
The
energy is more
quality.
even.
Yeah. Because I sometimes have done like a train for 10 days in a row, and also one time almost 2 weeks in a row. But the quality of each training after 7 days get less, worse and worse and worse. So
Yeah.
you get less and less out of each training because your body is so tired, so it cannot take in what you're doing.
Do you do any other sports beside what you've been talking about that you think like is fun to do sometimes or?
Usually not, but during not this it was before Corona, because during the summer we had a little bit less Thai boxing and no competition, so we did those indoor wall climbings, so like
Oh.
free wall climbings, like, and because I went with a friend, so we did it for one time each week for like 6 weeks, and it was really fun. So I think I will try when I have doesn't compete anymore. I think I would take more time to do those kind of things, like,
Yeah.
oh well, I've tried this out and that out and so on.
Oh, that's cool. Now, I think there are a lot of sports that can also can help you with the sport you're doing. I also recently tried climbing, indoor
Yeah.
climbing. Yeah. And my arms hurt like
Oh
3 days.
my God, yes. It was the grip strength that you get from climbing, it's really good for Thai boxing as well, because when you punch, you want to have a strong wrist so it doesn't bend when you hit. So it was, it's really good. So I said to my trainer, you can see that's a good training session for me. He said, yeah, yeah, go nuts. No competition. So you just go climb, but don't fall. Like, okay.
You have like one trainer who helps you structure a week?
Yes, well, he do the schedule because he have the, maybe he do for him, he do it for 2 months, for example. But then he send it each week, he send us, for this week is this kind of training and so on. Okay. On which day we should do what kind of things. Like, for example, it's not good to do heavy strength training in the morning and do Thai session in the evening because then your body is slow and heavy. So he helps us to get the most of it.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what do you do? Do you ever take time off? Do you take vacation or anything?
Yeah, as sometimes, like, for example, now we have a week off after the championship, so to say, but it's more like I wanted to run yesterday, so I went for a run, but it's not like I have to, but I never stop training completely because, but I think that because I get restless. Then for example, if I went to travel abroad for 1 week or 2 weeks, I would take time off because it's different, but otherwise I train something every week. Because that, I think training for me, it helps like my mind as well to relax and from work and so on. So sometimes I can train just to get those kind of things out of my system.
Yeah, I got you. That's why I do so much stuff too. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, I think I have come through all of my questions I have in my mind. Do you have anything you would like to talk about that you have not been talking about?
Oh, it's so hard to think about it, but I think we covered a lot of things, and maybe I should just emphasize that you shouldn't put too much pressure on yourself, even though it doesn't matter if you compete or not. Just don't forget why you started doing a sport. You did it for the fun, and don't lose that.
That's a really good essence. I like that. Also, I usually, when I don't forget, ask my interview partners if there is any person you would like to hear a podcast from. And since you're not in the vaulting world, this is awesome to ask.
Oh, it's so difficult. Yeah, but I think it's fun to listen to different sports like you did now, because maybe talk about a sport that isn't that common, you know, like not that established, because I know that in my major academy that I'm part of, we have, for example, goalball, and it's for blind,
which is called
goalball. Yeah, and then it's like, because when this, it's like you have you have some problem with the seeing. And then it says you can compete in that kind of things. Then you have a ball that you're supposed to throw in a goal and so on. And I know that, I think that it's kind of fun to hear about sports, about that have been adjusted to people, like, for example, have a problem with seeing or some other kind of disadvantage, but still can get around that to enjoy sport. And I think that's really good too.
That's actually something just came to my mind, but it is about vaulting. But we have one club in Sweden who is about, it's in Örkelljunga, outside of Örkelljunga, and they have vaulting for disabled.
I think that's really great that you can take a sport and adapt it. Like we talked earlier, that you should be able to adapt of the, your body and what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And I always think it's amazing that you can take, for example, for this and other sports and adapt them so that everyone can do it. And I think that's amazing.
Also, when you were talking about other sports that are not common, I was thinking about like a very fun sport. I don't know if you ever heard about it, but it's, I don't know how it's called, but you're using a bicycle. And you're doing gymnastic tricks on a bicycle.
I think I've seen some of that stuff on YouTube. I don't know what it's called, but I think I know what you're talking about.
And it's quite when it comes to a lot of people doing it, it's in Germany. There are so many funny sports there. Do a lot of them in Germany. Oh yeah, unicycling, ball sport. I've seen that too.
Yeah, I've seen the one. I think they play like football, but they're on bicycles or something like that.
Yeah, or hockey. I have seen hockey too.
It's hockey or handball. It's something like that. They have bicycles at least.
Yes, yes. Oh yeah, and the worst one, when I was sick, like some, yeah, I think a year ago, I was just having a cold and I was so bored. So I looked like weirdest sports on YouTube, and there was one called extreme ironing. I mean, that's not really sport. It's just like a hobby.
It's funny that it's something like that.
They did ironing underwater with sharks inside.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What is fun? It's just, like, I mean, sometimes you just need to take away all the pressure, as you say, just like do something fun.
Shit and jiggles, I'm doing this because I enjoy it.
Yes, yes. Extreme ironing, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah, why not? Because you can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you can. Actually, just about that, I do ice skating during winter as a second sport. Because I think it's good to do like a lot of different sports for vaulting, and since it's summer now, I don't have ice, so I bought wheels to have on my ice skates. Yeah. And yesterday I tried them, and I was just driving. I was trying them in the living room just because I can.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just gonna try them out.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it's a nice floor. Hardwood floors. It's better than concrete.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can train on pony if you want that. Yeah. It's not concrete, at least.
Well, I had such a nice time talking to you, Angela. It was so fun to talk about, yeah, sports.
I totally agree. It was really fun. Yeah.
If you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.